The Tom Woods Show, episode 1018.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Men, get yourselves an excellent shave at an outstanding price with Harry's and get your $13 trial set for free. Just cover shipping. Check it out at harrys.com/woods. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. No doom and gloom in this episode, folks. Only happiness. Only amazing happiness. I've had some people write to me and say, why don't you have listeners of the show on the show, which I've done before, by the way, but in particular, people who have success stories to share, stories based on advice you've given them. Like, for example, 6 months ago, I said e-commerce is a way a lot of people are having a lot of success online. And we had Steve Clayton on. We talked about that. And some people joined his program. And then I have found out about successes people had. Now, the first people I'm going to talk to today, the Millers, they're a married couple. They're in my private Facebook group because they're supporters of the show. And they revealed their success to us. And that was great. But other people I've had to find out about, you know, here and there. I'm in a private group with them, let's say, and they posted it there. Why don't you tell me about the success you're having? So it is a newbie-friendly way to get out of the rat race and make the life for yourself that you want. It just is. There's no getting around that. It is. A lot of people do it. It's not some crazy fantasy scenario that I made up. A lot of people. I mean, just look at how many accounts there are on Shopify. A lot of people do it, and it's newbie friendly. You don't have to know how to start a website or any. You don't have to forget all that. You don't need to know any of that. So I want to have these people on to talk about how it's gone, because this is amazing, and people need to know about this, and I want you to know about it, because I would like to see my people and libertarians all be prosperous with, you know, another income stream or a full-time income stream. I want us to do well. I want us to not be living in fear of our SJW bosses. And this is a great way to do it. And how wonderful to talk to real people. Everybody in my private group knows these people. Talk to real people who are doing really well because specifically of this. So let's start. Well, first, let me note, I had a few episodes ago, I had Fred Lamb on the show, and I don't think we'd fully set up the sign up correctly after that. So if you signed up for Fred's workshop, because the program these folks joined on the episode today is closed and closed forever. But I did have Fred Lamb on because Fred is an amazing expert in e-commerce, and he can also give you an overview of what's involved and what it's all about. So I got him to do a workshop on precisely that for my listeners. So if what you're hearing on this episode piques your interest, then you should check that out. So, but if you signed up after hearing the episode, you might want to sign up again just to be sure, because I'm not sure we had it fully operational. The link is tomwoods.com/Fred. He's a good guy, smart guy. His book, Starting from Zero, has a foreword by Robert Kiyosaki of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So he's an authority. And if you like this stuff, then check that out and he'll explain to you how it works. tomwoods.com/Fred. Let's go to the Millers, Nicholas and Tara Miller. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, let's talk about this. I've seen both of you on different occasions post about the success you've had in e-commerce. My understanding is you've both quit your jobs. Am I right about that?
Actually, no. I was working. Tara was a stay-at-home mom. We have four young children. So I'm the one, I left my job. So Tara was actually staying at home with the kids, and now we both kind of do this together from home on our own time now.
Okay. All right, that's good. So you started this back in March or April, something like that, and you've been working on it consistently since then?
So I started the training in March with everybody else, and we kind of just started it as like a side thing to hopefully bring in a little bit extra money. I didn't really have a lot of sales until about June it started picking up. July we did pretty well. August was really, really good, surprisingly good. And that was when we made the decision for Nick to leave his job, because it was taking a lot more time than we anticipated. And it just made more sense. You know, the online business was making more money, so it just made more sense for him to leave his current job and help me with the online business.
All right. So you're continuing to have success up to this moment that we're speaking?
Yeah, it's doing very, very well right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, if I may just jump in, you posted a photo of the two of you and you have four children?
Yes.
Okay, so almost at the woods level, but not quite. Okay, it was a picture of you guys at the beach, and the thing is, I was trying to get you on last week, and I was told you were on vacation. Was that where you took that photo?
Yes, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, and you posted that photo and said this amazing thing about how, you know, you have a business that you say in a way kind of runs itself, in the sense that certainly you can be sleeping and orders are being taken, and you know that's sort of, whereas, you know, Joe's Corner Store certainly can't do that. But what I want to keep emphasizing, because what I think keeps people from taking the plunge and doing things like this, is this sense of other people do that kind of thing, but not me. Or I don't have the background. How could I possibly do this? What would you say there?
Actually, we plan on in the future focusing more on helping just regular people, moms and dads like we are, to do the things that we are doing, because it is very simple. You know, my husband actually I remember the day we were just talking about this when he listened to your podcast with talking about the training that we did. And he was like, you have to do this. Like, this is totally right up your alley, because I do have a background in web development, although this has nothing to do with web development. I do know a little bit about computers, and we've always been looking for a way to make more money online. And he was like, you need to listen to this podcast and see if you can do this. So I listened to it and I was like, well, yeah, it sounds great. You know, we might as well, you know, pay the money and take the training, and with, because it had a pretty good guarantee tied to it. So we figured we had nothing to lose. And I honestly was really shocked at how simple it really is. I mean, it's not everyone would say that. Obviously you have people on with varying levels of success. But I really took it and ran with it. I read everything I could possibly find online, which the internet is a wealth of information. Obviously, I read everything I could find about this business model and, you know, applied different methods, tested different things to see if it would work. And it really is really not that difficult. So I think absolutely anybody can do it. I mean, if you have a computer, if you have internet connection and you can follow instructions, I mean, even just information out there that you can find for free, it's really not that hard.
Well, also, I think you can learn on the job. You don't have to know everything there is to know to open your store. And then little by little, you can learn things like, you know, how to send emails to people who abandon their shopping cart, you know, without buying anything, or how to add upsells so that somebody buys a product and then you immediately offer them a similar product they might also enjoy. You don't have to do that right out of the bat, and you could learn that later. You don't even have to learn that. There's, in other words, there are tweaks you can make as time goes on, but you don't have to know all those sorts of tweaks just to open the store.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very simple to just start up, and it's very, I don't want to say cheap, but it's not expensive to just start. And everything, I mean, I've had the success that I've had just by learning along the way. You know, you run into a problem and search for solutions and just test them and see what works. It's really easy.
Yeah. And I would have to say it's one of the lowest cost business models I've ever seen. I can't imagine something that has this little of startup cost attached to it that has this upside that we've experienced over the past 6 months.
Well, of course, what's great is you don't have to hold any inventory.
Exactly.
I mean, who has the money for that? And secondly, who has the garage space for a garage full of widgets?
Yeah, and you have no inventory, and you have none of the basic overhead that you would have with a brick and mortar. And you mentioned earlier, too, you were making sales 24 hours a day. Most brick and mortars, I mean, maybe they're open for 12 hours, you know, 15 hours, something along those lines. And you have to hire multiple people to try to run something 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Yeah.
That's a lot of overhead just in you know, utilities and labor that you would have to pay for that. So that you don't have to hold inventory and you don't have the brick and mortar. Basically, your expenses, your time, learning how to do it, and then obviously your ad expense and things of that nature and a little bit of other things attached to it, but it's pretty low. It's really low.
Yeah, the profit margin is very high with this business model. The overhead is very, very low.
All right, so when you have, no, I'm not going to ask you for particular figures, but if let's say you made, you know, let's say you had a month where you made $20,000 in sales, you know, people will tout those figures let's say if they were training you to be in e-commerce, they'd say, look, so-and-so did this much in sales, but we don't know what that means because maybe they did, maybe they spent $30,000 on ads. So what would you say the profit margin percentage for you is?
We currently have two stores operating. We just started a new one in September, and it's actually already over six figures a month.
What?
And
yeah. we're just under 500,000 in sales in the past 3 months between our two stores.
Okay. You've told Steve about this, right?
Yes. Yeah. We talked about it. But, the profit margin combined for the average store with your ad cost and, you know, if you have virtual assistants and product cost and all that should be usually between 20 and 40%.
All right. Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, consider what it must be like. Now, I know there are people for whom restaurants are their passion. You know, they want to cook and that's going to be their thing. I get that's their passion. But man, are their profit margins razor thin. It is so hard to keep open. Whereas you've got this model like this with this kind of potential. It's really quite overwhelming. Now, you just mentioned virtual assistants. In other words, that means you got to a point where you were profitable enough that you said, you know, a lot of what I'm doing is drudgery that I don't want to do, that I could easily have somebody else do, and you made the decision to hire at least one person to do those things. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yeah, so we currently have two virtual assistants who work for us, and we actually hired them out of the Philippines. And they are amazing. They're very, very good. I mean, they're awesome workers. They are very dedicated to our stores and what we offer our customers. They're awesome with customer service. They pretty much do, they do everything except for ad work, basically. Like, we work with the ads and the marketing, and they do everything else.
Okay. Now, did you have background in advertising or marketing before you started this?
I did not. I didn't know anything about marketing, and now I feel like I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, no experience for me on that one either.
That's amazing, but that really is that's the thing. So let me ask you this. What do you spend most time on? Is it developing the ads, or is it constantly trying to identify new, potentially profitable products?
It's probably a mix of actually both of those things. So every morning I get up and basically analyze my ad. Well, not every morning. It's usually every other morning. And analyze how my ads are doing. And I either scale them up or scale them down, depending on how they're performing. And that takes a couple of hours, maybe at the most. And then if I feel like it, I'll go and look for more products to test. But right now, it's pretty smooth sailing. We don't really need to test many products at this point. But as you know, certain ads will eventually kind of die off a little bit or start doing a little worse than they were. And at that point, then yeah, we'll test another product.
Okay. Now, did your initial decision for what niche to get into turn out to be the right decision, or did you have to go back and say, this one's a turkey, let's try a different one?
No, my first niche actually took off really well. I followed my gut. The training that we took, they had a method for finding a niche. And I didn't really use it because I felt right off the bat that I had a good idea for a niche, and it wasn't actually included in their niche packs or anything like that. But I felt like I just felt that it would be really a really good niche for me personally, because I know a lot about it and I'm interested in it. So I just went with it, and it actually turned out to work really, really well. And then for my second store, it's kind of a spin-off of my first one. So same thing, and it actually is doing better than my first one.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I don't even know what to say to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we feel the same way, Tom.
I know. Is this real life?
Yeah, our life has completely changed because of this. And, you know, six months ago, this was just, okay, we maybe do this as a little bit of a supplemental income, and life has completely changed for us. So, yeah, it's still unbelievable. I still got to.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Well, yeah, I guess you're welcome. I didn't think I was doing you this much good, but geez, that is just amazing. I mean, to do $500,000 in sales in 3 months, that is insane. That's totally insane.
Yeah.
And it, by the way, it helps to have a Facebook group like that, doesn't it? Because you get a lot of people who have the same questions. You can share advice. You can get answers to technical questions. It's just like my bloggers group, you know, people just getting started with blogging. Yeah, you could probably find the answer if you had 3.5 hours and you weren't ready to murder somebody. But if you have a nice group like this, it sure makes it easier.
Right. Yeah, the group was priceless. Absolutely.
Boy, that is really incredible. What else can you tell? I'm even out of questions. I don't even know what to ask. What else can you tell me, like, about any of this? Things that surprised you? Things that you? Is there anything you failed at early on where you said, "Well, boy, this sure didn't work"? Did you have trouble finding good products? Like, what was? Did anything go wrong? In other words,
you would tell a story about what happened the week after I resigned.
So yeah. So.
Oh no! This sounds bad.
Oh well, it was. You know, looking back on it now, it's just kind of funny. So I was in insurance, and you know, I have 4 young children, as we mentioned. My oldest is 6, and my youngest is seven now. My oldest is 7, my youngest is 2, and 2 little boys in between there. And so I resigned from my job because everything was going very well. And literally the week after I resigned, so I resigned on a Friday. Starting the following Monday and Tuesday, we started having some issues with the store, with our initial niche store, and some of the ads and just some different things, you know, issues with the Pixel. And,
it looked like it was falling apart.
It really did. It looked like the rug was pulled out from under us. And there was a couple stressful days. But we were able to get it taken care of. Tara definitely, you know, put a lot of time in that week and got everything figured out. And looking back on it now, it's just a hiccup. So it's, you know, that was just a little minor hiccup we had, but and it's just continued to, you know, skyrocket up since then. But that's looking back, that's about the only, you know, white knuckle situation, I guess you could say, that we've experienced through this whole process. And it's actually we kind of look at each other and laugh about that. That was a funny week we had there, you know.
Yeah.
Very stressful, but it was. Everything worked out all right. And it was actually looking back and we were still profitable for that week. We were still very profitable. We had to scale back going into the weekend, and it kind of messed up a couple of our ads. So, you know, maybe that, you know, that might have had a little bit to do with it. But either way, it was a little bit of a stressful week, but
yeah. It was very stressful that week, actually. And like you said, we weren't doing as bad as we thought we were. It was just scary to see the numbers going down for a short period of time. But looking back at it now, like if someone else was going through the same thing, it's totally fixable. That's just how sales works. You know, we have up and down weeks now. And now that we know that that's normal and it happens, it's not so scary when it happens.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, too, is we saw the sales going down for the first time since we started the store.
Right after
we
quit his job.
Yeah, and we didn't, you know, right after I resigned from a good company, a good job. And that's the first time we saw sales dip down. So we didn't, you know, we didn't really know how what to do with that information. What does this mean? Does this mean it's just going to continue to dip? And how long is this going to go down for? And now we know that it's, you know, it's sales. I mean, I was actually in sales before, so I should have known that, you know, sales can be a bit of a roller coaster sometimes. But it's everything's great. Everything worked out excellently.
Now that you've stabilized in the sense that you don't have a huge learning curve left, you basically know what you need to do every day. You've got a routine. I'm going to monitor how my ads are doing. You know, step by step, you know exactly what to do. Is it the same kind of time commitment as a traditional job, but yet you can just be more flexible with it? Or is it less or more or what?
It really depends on how things are going. So if everything is going well, I mean, I could spend an hour a day. Like when we went on vacation, everything was fine and it basically ran itself. And I worked maybe like 2 hours the whole time we were on vacation. So it definitely does not require, I would say, the same time commitment that a normal job does. But I mean, at first, you know, before we got virtual assistants, I was definitely spending probably 40 plus hours a week building my stores. And once we made the decision to hire the virtual assistants, it's been a lot less time commitment.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think you could go both ways. I mean, it depends on what you want to do with it. So for us, the lifestyle was a very important aspect. But, you know, to have a successful store running, it definitely I don't see somebody having put in, you know, a 9 to 5, 5 days a week to make this work.
Yeah, it just depends on what you want. You know, if you want to make millions of dollars, obviously it's going to be a bigger time commitment. But if you're okay with you know, a certain amount of money with less time commitment, then that's you have the option to do, you know, as much time as you want, basically.
Now, I have heard people who were in this niche who struggled to find products that worked, or not necessarily products that work, because they're products that did seem to sell for other people. It's getting that audience exactly right. And I think after a while they just said, well, I just don't think this works for me. And they decided not to do it anymore. How can you advise people in that situation?
I faced the same issues with my first store, with finding after it took that initial dip, with finding an audience that, you know, reacted well to my ads again. And there are still struggles with that, especially since, you know, going into the fourth quarter, bigger retailers are going to be pouring big money into ads and you're going to be competing with them. So it can definitely hinder, you know, the performance of smaller ads. But I would say test as much as you possibly can, based on the research that you do on your target market. So I spent a lot of time basically just on Google, finding everything that I could find about what my target market is interested in, what they do in their free time, the kind of jobs that they have, the kind of lifestyle that they live, how much money they're making, you know, because all these things can be targeted in Facebook ads, basically. I mean, you can target anything from the kind of car someone drives to their spending habits to brands that they're interested in, magazines that they read, websites that they visit. And it doesn't have to be exactly related to your niche to be a good performing ad. So, you know, I could target something that maybe isn't related to my niche, but is something that my target market is interested in, and it'll perform very well. So, I mean, that would be my main advice to someone who's struggling, is just research as much as you can about your target market and test those different interests and habits and things like that. And you can start very small. You know, if I'm not really sure about a specific interest, then I'll start an ad at like $3 or $5, which is a very, you know, very small amount. And if it doesn't work within a couple of days, then you try a new one.
How do the two of you do this together without stepping on each other's toes?
we're still trying to figure that one out. But I don't know. We've always worked together most of what we do. So
we have a pretty good. We're kind of opposites of each other, so we balance each other out pretty well. But we are definitely still a work in progress, yeah, as far as, you know, working together, getting, since this is also new to us. You know, Nick just quit his job in August. So it's still us both being home full time, or, you know, wherever we want to be full time, and with the kids, because we also homeschool. And it's definitely been a learning experience. But I mean, it's absolutely worth it. You know, if you look at the bigger picture, like, we're going to have squabbles here and there, but it's definitely worth it and worth figuring out how to make it work.
Well, it sure sounds like it. I just can't get over this. It's so great. And I love that. I just love that when you said, I'm doing the advertising and marketing. I don't have any background in this, but now I feel like I'm pretty good at it. So that's all you need. I mean, a few months of practicing. It's amazing. It's a beautiful thing about e-commerce, because you don't really have to do copywriting, because you're not sending emails pitching products. So you don't really have to learn copywriting. You just have to learn how to do effective ads, and you can study other effective ads. I mean, there are a lot of ways to do this. By the way, did you use the ad generator program that they have, like for free plus shipping and all that stuff? Did you use that? Because I use that to make my ads. I guess you're way more sophisticated than that now.
I actually did try it out initially. I tried the methods that they told us to use with the free plus shipping and that kind of thing. And I found that it didn't work for me or my niche. Maybe it just didn't work for, I think every niche is going to be different with what people respond to. So maybe, you know, obviously that's great for certain niches, but for my specific target market, the free plus shipping and the ads with like the big, you know, the free plus shipping written on it didn't really work out too well. But what I have found works for me is honestly just posting a picture of the product, or like a slideshow of the product and different pictures of it, with, you know, just some basic copywriting on the ad. And that's what works best for me.
Yeah. With maybe a little jingle attached to it, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll add some, you know, some like free, you know, royalty free music to it, and it works out great.
Oh, that is pretty good. Well, one last thing. Do you put the price of the product in the Facebook ad, or do you wait till they click through and they can find out for themselves?
I do not put the price on there. I will sometimes, like in on your Facebook page, if you post an actual post to your page, you can tag a product in the ad. And sometimes I'll do that and it'll show the price on it. I do sometimes allow the price to be shown on retargeting ads. So the retargeting ads are where someone comes to your store, maybe they look at a product or maybe they add it to their cart, but they don't buy it. And they'll be shown a retargeting ad on Facebook after that. And in some of my retargeting ads, it'll show, it's an option that you can select. It'll show the price or the sale price next to the original price slashed out. And on some of them, I'll have that, and it works pretty well. But I haven't really noticed like a huge difference between allowing the price to be on there or not allowing the price to be on there.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I always went back and forth as to what was best, because I thought if I put the price, then I know I'll get only people who are prepared to pay that price, and I won't have to bother with people who don't like the price. But anyway, I wasn't sure if that was the best thing. Anyway, and again, that probably also varies by niche. Well, continued good luck to you. Not that you need anything from me at this point. This is totally ridiculous, really.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you very much.
And I mean, I hope I'll continue to be able to chit chat with you guys in the private supporting listeners group, and we can get updates from you. I'm glad to have you both in there. And now you got a second store. I mean, who knows? Maybe you're going to be running the world. It'll be like Wall-E, you know, like your one company running the world in a few years. So,
well, we did join the people who did the training initially. They offered a Blueprint Academy. They opened up a few spots for people to join, where they focus more on like Amazon and a couple other things. So we did join that. So we definitely plan on expanding.
Wow. Yeah, we have a conference we're going to later this month, actually.
Yeah, we're going to Chicago on October 28th and 29th,
yeah, last week of the month.
Yeah.
So we are definitely planning on expanding, though. So we, knowing what we know now and seeing the upside in this industry, definitely not looking back. Yeah, we're going to continue to grow and go on from there. So,
well, great. I couldn't be happy for you guys. Thanks a lot for sharing some of your story with us today.
No problem. Absolutely. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for having us.
All right, that was amazing. But I have more stories for you after we thank our sponsor, folks. Here's a novel approach. You don't like the price of a product, and you think you can do a better job? Buy your own factory and start making it yourself. That's what Jeff and Andy did. They were just two regular guys, and they were fed up with buying overpriced razors. So they bought their own German factory that had over 100 years of blade-making experience to make sure they would get the highest quality blade. Harry's offers their blades at half the price of the leading five-blade razor. They sell directly to you over the internet, and you're going to love the experience. The product itself is excellent. I've had lots of problems with blades in the past, but I get a beautiful, smooth shave with Harry's. It's a great system overall, which is why when I was looking for a Christmas gift for my old friend Michael Malice, I got him a beautiful Harry's shave set. Well, you can claim your free trial offer from Harry's. It's a $13 value for free when you sign up. Just cover three smackers for shipping, and you get a weighted ergonomic razor handle, five precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. So to grab that, just head over to harrys.com/woods. That's harrys.com/woods. All right, let's talk now to Amy Thiessen, whose success I found out about. She wanted to maybe earn a few extra $100 a month through e-commerce, and it went way past that. So, Amy, welcome.
Thank you, Tom. Really excited to be here.
You are a member of my private bloggers group, and you also have been working in e-commerce for a while. Now, I would be inclined to guess that was not a term you used a whole lot before March of this year. Am I right?
Right. And you say a while, and it's really been a few months. So
yeah, it hasn't been that long, has it? That's right. That's right. So I've been keeping an eye on people. I'm in that same private group that you are. And I already revealed on a previous episode that my niche is cats. You're not supposed to reveal your niche, but I did it because I'm just an open kind of guy. I'm not asking you to do the same. But anyway, so I was selling stuff like that, and so I got into the group. And then you posted this crazy, insane update one day that I could not get over. So I would like to get into the step-by-step how this all went for you, but I kind of want to fast forward to the punchline, if you don't mind. You were expecting one kind of outcome, and yet you wound up getting another.
Yeah, in a huge way. First of all, you kind of surprised me. I didn't even know you were in the group, so you sort of popped out of nowhere.
I'm quiet. I'm a lurker. I'm quiet, but I'm there. I'm one of those creepy people.
Yeah, in the background. Yeah, so that was kind of the icing on the cake. Like, oh, and then Tom Woods congratulated me. So that was really fun. But yeah, the punchline is I had a crazy... So I started this e-commerce website, and then a few months later, I did almost $35,000 in sales. Like, probably 4 months later, which is just mind blowing to me because I started thinking like, okay, you know, I'm having a second baby. I'll start this and this will be a good way to get a little bit of extra income, a little bit of padding for some extras. And that's how it started. First month, it was like, okay, I'm just happy to be profitable. I'm making a profit. This is great. And then the next month it was like $5,000 in sales. I'm like, okay, well, that's great. And then the next month it was $15,000 in sales. And I was kind of like, okay, what's happening here? And then the next month it was $35,000 in sales. So that was a little impossible to wrap my head around kind of, but in a good way.
Yeah, I would say so. That absolutely amazed me. And the thing is, I'm so glad I'm in that group because I wouldn't have known you'd been having that success. I'm going to be talking in a minute to a guy I met for the first time at my 1,000th episode event in Orlando, and he showed me a screenshot in his phone. He said, oh, by the way, thanks for introducing me to this program because here's what I sold in the last 3 months. It was $67,000. But then when I got home and I looked at it, because I said to him, you've got to send me that screenshot. What is wrong with you people not telling me what's happening? So I had him send me the screenshot. When I looked at it more closely, almost all the $67,000 was in the past month. It was really just one. He'd been working on it hard for the last 3 months, but really it took off in just 1 month. Mm-hmm. And I would not have dared to promise that, and I never did promise that. It's possible, but there it was. So
very possible.
Yeah, that's amazing to me.
And that's kind of the crazy thing. Yeah, and it just sort of it's just a crazy snowball. It's just, you know, every day I don't want to say it like doubles, but it just kept going and going and going. It was like, oh my goodness, what is happening here? And I didn't really tell anyone what was going on, and I haven't really shared with anyone because I kind of thought like, oh, this is unreal. Like, this isn't really happening. Like, this isn't my store. So for him to be working on it quietly, like, I get that.
Yeah, and I get that. And not only that, but when you go broadcasting this publicly, suddenly everybody wants to borrow money from you. You don't want to be in that situation. So there is also that.
Right, or something goes wrong, yeah.
Now, when you say, when you give us all these numbers, I know it varies, but how do we process these numbers? These are sales numbers, but people could make that much in sales and still be making a loss. So how do we figure out how well you're doing if you don't think I'm prying too much? Like, what's profit out of that?
Yep, I understand. And it can be tricky because people do promise, you know, these huge numbers. And it's like, well, but how much did you actually make? And so it kind of varies a little bit. It's kind of up and down. But what I'm shooting for is, I would say average, I get about 20% profitability, which isn't great, but it's not nothing either. So I'm happy with that number. And then there's always little tweaks you can do to make it higher.
Right. And I see all kinds of discussions about that in the group. And I mean, I went through the material and I learned the stuff, but my gosh, if you want to keep optimizing and improving, there's really no shortage of tactics you can use. So you can always have something to be working on, in other words.
Absolutely. It's really a time is your only constraint at that point. I would think there's probably a limit somewhere 30, 40%. I can't imagine you could be more profitable with that more profitable with this business model necessarily. But like I said, it's not nothing. So
Now, but what you said, let me repeat something you said. Mm-hmm. I started this e-commerce website. Now, already those words are making people think, I would need a PhD in engineering to do this. I don't even know what she's talking about.
Part of the reason I really liked this program, because they said, here are the instructions, follow these instructions, don't do anything else, only do these instructions. And I thought, okay, well, I can do that. So I really, I have a little bit of knowledge just in general about different website things, but this is my first e-commerce website, so I really didn't know what to do. And Facebook ads, which are 99% of my traffic and where all my sales come from, I really did not know anything about Facebook ads. So that was the bulk of the learning for me.
Right. And then optimizing the ads. And, you know, I keep giving examples of things that as a newbie, you wouldn't know unless somebody told you, like you scale your ads gradually.
That's right.
Right. Not all of a sudden and in crazy numbers, but also, can you say something about lookalike audiences and the extent to which they've been part of your business?
Absolutely. I had heard that term maybe tossed around, but I had no idea what it meant. Prior to doing this, I had run a couple different Facebook campaigns for my day job, but they were just general, like, I don't know, here, like this page. So not very effective at all. And when we started this, I started learning about optimizing ads and audience placement and who to target. And then I discovered lookalike ads, which is really the secret to scaling. So you have, 10 of your customers that come to your website that you have served your ads to, and maybe they make a purchase. So you have 10 people that purchase something. Well, then you can tell Facebook, hey, see these 10 people? Find me like a million more people like this and serve my ads to them. And they do. And that's really where the money is to me.
Yeah. So Facebook tries to find people who more or less match the demographic profile of people who have bought from you in the past. That's amazing. I mean, could you imagine in the past, in, 50 years ago, marketers would have slit their own grandmother's throats for a tool like that?
Yeah. I mean, you're literally saying, this is my target customer. Go find them. And Facebook says, okay, we will.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean, that was people's whole job in the old days, but mm-hmm. Here come the robots doing it better. Now you said my day job. So you're telling me you've done this while also balancing a full-time job?
Well, I've gone part-time, so no. So now I work part-time at my day job.
Now is the part-time because of the baby or is the part-time because you're doing this other thing?
Both. Yeah. I mean, I could, yeah, both.
Do you ever imagine that this could at some point replace even the part-time job?
Oh, absolutely. I just kind of like my part-time job. And that's the only reason I went back is because I like it. So this definitely could replace that. And that would be really great too.
Do you enjoy e-commerce or is it just drudgery that brings in a lot of money?
No, I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun to see. The thing I really like about it is when you have a few sales and you start getting some traction, you can really see almost overnight how changes affect your business. So you change an ad placement and then you can see tomorrow or maybe a couple days how that has changed. So it's really like a game and strategy, and then you can see instant results. Whereas other ways of making money online, you kind of have to wait and guess and hope, and it takes a lot more time.
Let me just conclude with this. This is how I would be if I had a full-blown e-commerce store that I was really... I mean, because as I said, I started doing it. I became convinced that it was workable, that it made sense. I made sales. Uh-huh. But I'm only one person. I'm really a one-man show, and I have to balance everything I'm doing. So if I had a full-time e-commerce store, the first thing I would do in the morning is check to see how many sales I made while I was asleep. Do you do that?
I do. I get notifications all day, so that's kind of fun. I usually check as I'm going to sleep because then the number is bigger. Sometimes you might wake up and it's still zero. It's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, but that is nice. So you can go, I had a nice day. That's really amazing. Well, there's a lot more to ask about because I could ask about how you choose products and stuff like that. But I just wanted to, with this conversation, convey to people that this is a real option that a lot of people exercise. And you're not somebody who had any particular background in, let's say, sales, marketing, websites, web design, payment processors, any of these things. You just followed the instructions. You followed, as they called it, the path of least resistance. And here you are doing really great.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Tom, I kind of owe it to you. You on your podcast, you said something like, gosh, I just want to be the master of my own domain or something. So I'm going to try it. And I thought, well, geez, if Tom's going to try it, I better try it. So you're the one that tipped me over the edge.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, you know, if you feel morally compelled to mail me a check, I'm not going to refuse it. But
right, a royalty check.
Well, okay. Well, listen, thanks so much for your time today and continued good luck to you.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Finally, I want to talk to David Letty. There are others, by the way, but I just thought three is a magic number and we're already going kind of long today. So David Letty is a guy I met at the 1,000th episode event, and we'll talk about that actually in just a minute. David, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Tom. Nice to be here. Thanks for the invite.
I just told my previous guest that I met you at the 1,000th episode event. You're friends with Galen, who's gone on the Contra Cruise with us.
Right.
And you came up and bought a book, which I now feel perfectly at ease taking your money because I know you can afford it based on what you showed me. And you said, do you remember your episode, you know, with Steve Clayton on e-commerce? Yeah, of course. And then you showed me, you pulled out your phone, you showed me the screenshot of how you've been doing. And I thought, what the heck? This is unbelievable. It was over $67,000 in sales over the last 3 months. And then I said to you, send me that screenshot. So you sent it to me. And when I looked at it more closely, I noticed that almost all those sales are really in the past 1 month.
Right.
So I want to ask you a few of the same things I just asked Amy. So first of all, when I'm looking at some just preposterous number like $67,000 in a month, how do people figure out, well, you could have made a lot of sales after spending $100,000 on ads. How are you actually doing? Is this a going concern, as they say?
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to keep in mind, I opened the store in April, and I basically didn't really have any success. I tested about 100 products. The nice thing about the way we do it is that you're never really in for like much capital investment. I think the max I had in the whole process was I was down $1,000 at one point. But you know, it's the whole concept is you're looking for a winner. And then I found a winner at the end of, I guess it was the beginning of August, and it took off. And, because you're like looking for that winner, it's sort of like built in that when it does happen, it's going to be profitable to some extent. And into my case, it's taken off. My net margins are between 25% and 30%, and it's going. And I have I've designed a pretty large audience, so in terms of the niche and the product that Facebook is going to sort of aim towards, exploiting. And so I hopefully it goes a long way. But it's only been a month, and it's been great so far. But that could change. So, but if you keep in mind, it was 4 months when it was dead, and I just tested 100 products, and I wasn't moving anything. So that's a little disconcerting, but I stuck it out, and it's working, so it's nice.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, they keep saying keep looking for that winner, and a lot of people say, forget it, I just don't want to bother. But you just said, no, I'm going to make this work, and then when it works, does it ever? And then meanwhile, while you're testing different products to see if they're going to sell and if they'll be profitable, you are also at the same time becoming a real expert on a lot of important things, not least among them Facebook advertising, which can be very lucrative if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So that in that 4 month process, I'm getting better at understanding how Facebook advertising works. I'm improving my website, just building a general understanding. So when things do happen, I'm there ready to go. So that's one nice thing is that in that 4 months when I wasn't, before I had success, I was setting things up and making mistakes and testing the system, whether I was doing it purposely or not. So when this did happen, I have this system that's pretty streamlined, and it's almost too easy based on the amount of sales. It's nice.
So there must have been a day where the sales were considerably larger than you'd ever had. And when you looked at your phone, you said, whoa, 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 what the heck happened today? Was it an experience like that?
Yeah, similar. I think the big, it was more like when I first started advertising this product, the relevancy scores were through the roof. So, which led to the big sales. So there was, that was followed up, but it was more like the excitement of when people first started seeing the product, even before it started selling. So that was like, whoa, that's pretty crazy. And then, you know, I used some of the resources that I had through the 100K factory to say, hey, how do I deal with this and how I handle it? And then, yeah, the sales came after that. It's a little bit more of an expensive product than we're used to. So that probably delayed the sales right off the bat, but it started to happen. So I don't know. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. But tell people, what is a relevancy score in Facebook ads?
So a relevancy score is when you have an ad on Facebook, it's how people that are actually seeing the ad or experiencing the ad are interacting with it. So if they're clicking on it, looking at it, pausing or watching the video, it's sort of like how relevant your ad is to the audience that's looking at it. So if you, to take an extreme example, if you were showing golf club advertisements to nuns, that wouldn't be very relevant, you know, so you wouldn't get any good feedback. But if you were showing, you know, golfing equipment to golfers and the ad was good and the pictures were good, then the people that are seeing it are going to interact with it. And Facebook knows that that's happening. So it ranks your relevancy score between 1 and 10. And obviously that's more relevant to the audience. And it's also important because Facebook wants their users. And again, I don't work for Facebook, but this is just stuff I gathered from this experience. They want their users to have a nice experience using Facebook. So the more relevant your ad is, the less the Facebook user even knows they're seeing advertisements, because your ad is so tied into what they like and what they're into that it's almost a streamlined event. So the higher your relevancy, the better your ad is designed to be relevant to the people who are seeing it, the more that Facebook is going to, well, it's going to rank your relevancy higher, but they're also going to reward you in other ways, like making your advertising cheaper and et cetera. So that's sort of how I understand it.
You know, I recently told a story about something I did in the cat niche that gave me some success. I started using video ads, which I found to be very effective, little video clips of the product. But also, I was pitching the ad to people on Facebook who belonged to cat video groups. So I knew they liked cat videos. So now I'm showing them a video of a cat, a joyful cat playing with my product that I'm trying to sell to them. And that ad looks to them like another cat video. In other words, they enjoyed watching my ad. And so no doubt that helped with my relevancy score. And I don't know why that took me so long to realize, pitch a cat video ad to people who like cat videos. They won't even feel like they're looking at an ad. So it's just as you say, you make it congruent with what their interests are. Now, tell me what your background is in terms of employment. What have you been doing?
Okay, well, actually, I was a history, I'll give away my age. I was a Dartmouth 88 history major. So you have that in common, although I never pursued that. I actually went into finance. So I have a finance background, and that was sort of like my mainstay. And after some changes in my career, whatever, I came across this. I was doing a job last year that it wasn't particularly cut out for me. But it did involve a lot of driving. So I had a lot of time to listen to all your shows. And ironically, the Steve Clayton show, the headliner didn't interest me that much. So for the first month, I didn't watch it. But then I ran out of all of your other shows. So I'm like,
I'll do this one.
And boom. Yeah, then by the end of it, I was like, I'm in. And, you know, without your sort of stamp of approval, there's no way I would have gone down that road. So it was good. It's a good story.
Yeah, I'm really, really glad it worked out. And I mean, and I've gotten to know him. I had known him a little bit before that, and I'd researched him. And he's one of the few people in this area whom everybody seems to like, which I thought he's like the Robert Higgs of e-commerce. Like everybody likes him. Like the equivalent of the Cato Institute likes him, the Mises Institute likes him. That's what I mean. Basically, everybody likes the guy. So I thought, what the heck? I didn't have any experience in e-commerce, but I've basically been reading about all the major ways people, you know, make a go of it online. This is a significant one, and it fits in with the overall narrative of what's going on in the world, where traditional retail stores are just getting the stuffings kicked out of them. And yet, on the other hand, a single individual with very, very little to no capital can just open a Shopify account and have a store running. This seems so 2017. It's so out of science fiction or something that I thought, I want to see about this. And so I'm glad that I have all these success stories. I can't even fit them all in, basically. I figured I would pick three people. And when I met you at the 1,000th episode, and we had never met before, have we corresponded at all?
No, not at all.
All right, so we've had no connection. And out of the blue, this guy I've never met before, whom I didn't even know listened to the episode, had that kind of success. I thought, all right, that's it. You are coming on the show. So what would be, again, I do want to emphasize this. You had that background, but you haven't created e-commerce stores or anything like that before. So how hard is it? How easy is it? Is it in somewhere in between hard and easy? Is it insurmountable for a beginner?
Well, I don't have much of a technical background, but I do. I've gone the internet a lot and stuff. I mean, I think if you have the time and the ability to concentrate, it's not particularly difficult. It does take some effort in terms of getting to your head around the Facebook stuff and the Shopify stuff, but it's all fairly user friendly. But on the other hand, it's very powerful, which means that there's a lot to learn. So, but it's not like I don't know anything about coding. In fact, the only coding I've ever done is through this project in direction from the guys at 100K. So I'm not a particularly technical savvy person. So it's doable, but it does take some time and it does some concentration.
Yeah.
So, you have to be able to deal with some disappointment if you're initial test products don't work out, but
So it's not get, you know, it's the funny thing is, on the one hand, people, they're not interested in get rich quick schemes, which they shouldn't be. But then on the other hand, if you say to them, now this thing, you know, you've got a good shot at making this work, but you're gonna have to put some effort in. It's like, oh no, this is too much work. Well, which one is it? Like, I mean, either you want get rich quick that involves no work, but also no return, or it's going to be something that does require some upfront work, but it can give you a nice return. And I'm much more interested in those.
Yeah. And for, like you said, there's no capital involved. So that's crazy. There's no experience. I listened to your interview with Mr. Bly the other day. He's the copy.
Oh, Bob Bly. Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And he mentioned that guy stormed out of his seminar once because he didn't believe that you could make money doing copy editing, copywriting. Do you remember that part of his story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You couldn't make $85,000 a year. You're a liar.
Right, but, right. Exactly. So it does seem, and again, it does seem a little crazy, but yeah, and there's lots of stuff on YouTube, a lot of advertising on YouTube. I think any normal person would be very skeptical. So, but at the same time, it's doable. So.
Yeah. And of course, right, I mean, there are plenty of people, as Bob says, there are plenty of liars out there. But when it comes to e-commerce, one thing that you know is a ton of people are already doing it. I mean, this isn't some crazy thing from out of left field that somebody invented. Shopify is a website that exists, and I don't know how many stores are on it, but people do it all the time. But most of them do it without any real background as to what they're doing.
Right.
And they populate it with a few products and it doesn't work and then they just give up on it. But if you know what you're doing, you can actually make a go of it. Now, before I let you go, let's try to explain to people why we're not telling them what your niche is or what the products are. Because this may seem weird. But wait a minute, I want to go investigate this for myself. I get that. That makes perfect sense. But I also don't want to undermine everybody's business model. So why would we be reluctant to do that?
Well, I guess it's because the barriers to entry maybe and this kind of thing are pretty low. And it's sort of natural to see how other people's success. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, you do. You say, who's succeeding with what type of products and how can I, you know, put together something and copy that. So there is some kind of proprietary protection of the things you're having success with because they're very easy to replicate. And you know, my website has a particular niche that I'm advertising to, and you know, I want to protect that as long as I can. So I mean, it's not going to last forever, but that's proprietary in that sense. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And then when I was off the air with Amy just now, she was saying that another reason is Facebook has a very precise algorithm for delivering your ads to just the right people. And if you go gawking at her website, it's going to screw that up. It's going to start delivering her ads to you, and chances are you're not one of her buyers. So she basically says, you know, she told her husband, no, I don't want sightseers coming to my website. Leave me alone. I want just my people, so that Facebook has a clear understanding of the people to send the ads to. Very smart. Very, very smart.
Sure, absolutely. And she might be more I don't know exactly. I'm going to look into what she's saying, because I don't actually understand that. What I understand what she's saying, but I don't understand the technical process of that, because I don't, from what I'm aware of.
Well, like retargeting visitors.
Right, right. Well, I don't think Facebook knows who goes to my website unless they're sent by Facebook. But, you know, who knows? It's like
that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. And then really the issue, well, yeah, see, but with my website, because I've got the pixel in there, I can actually make a whole list of people that I can send ads to, people who have been to my website in the past 30 days. I can actually create a list of those people. And I sometimes at Thanksgiving for Black Friday, I pitch Liberty Classroom like crazy to people who have gone and browsed there in the past 30 days, and I make sure they get the ads. Well, anyway, I hope you continue to have success and that you'll share it, because it's that's just amazing that you had a month like that. And then it just kept on coming and coming. And you know, you had days where thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars were coming through. It must have just seemed unreal.
Yeah, it's a nice surprise. I mean, I did have faith that it would happen sooner or later, but I didn't think it would happen to the degree it's happened. But it's nice. So it's a nice experience. So I have to say thank you for having Steve on and for, you know, teaching people this kind of stuff. It's really good.
I'm really glad to hear about it. Well, thanks again for your time today, and continued good luck.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Take care.
All right, everybody. That is amazing. Those are real listeners, real people. They're in real groups of mine. Absolutely amazing. I could not be happier for them. And I urge you, if you're thinking, well, you know, maybe instead of just congratulating these people, I might actually, even me, I could be one of those people. At least check out what it's all about. And you can do that in the little workshop we're doing with Fred Lamb, who's super successful. I mean, and what a story he has, by the way. Moved from Hong Kong to Canada, never really quite fit in school, had trouble with his grades. He wanted, you know, his mom was working really hard to support three kids, and he was thinking, I mean, he literally says this in his book, I needed to stop being a burden to her. And so he started washing dishes in a restaurant. Well, now he has made $20 million in sales in e-commerce, and he teaches it to other people. So he would be the guy I would refer you to at this point if you want to learn this stuff. So I'm going to be in there with him for the workshop coming up very, very soon, October 13th, 2017. Check it out at tomwoods.com/Fred, and I'll see you guys next week.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.